You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Cut him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good morning, May the 25th, 2021. DCR with you on 98.7 ESPN. We've got a feisty, somewhat obnoxious Raymond Santiago this morning. But I leave that to the side for the moment. Let's say good morning to the particulars on the show. And we say good morning because I know Rick loves when we go around the horn. Good morning to Chris Canty. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm on a struggle bus, Dave. Only got about 4 hours of sleep last night. So I'm struggling over here. But, you know, we power through. It's Rule 76. No excuses. Play like a champion. So you know what it is.
That's right. This is what we do. Put our heads down and just move forward. Good morning, Richard. How are you?
Good morning, David. Hey, Chris, just TTS, baby. Just TTS will get you through this. Islanders, big win, double OT. I don't care how it looked. No pitchers in the scorecard. We'll take it.
Oh, that's right.
That feels good.
Trust the speakers, baby. Just trust the speakers.
Good morning. It's good to be back. I avoided you guys a little bit, but I got over it.
I had a moment last night. Chris, you talk about not getting a lot of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed up. I watched the Islanders game. Congratulations to you, Rick. I'm sure you're very happy.
I'm extremely happy.
Yeah. I'm sure.
How you win them, huh, Rico?
No.
Doesn't matter how you win them.
Canty, you play golf. There's no pitches on the scorecard for a reason.
The worst win is better than the best loss. Right? We agree with that?
That's not even a question.
Well, you say that. People have told me, my team plays great. I'd rather my team just plays great and loses than have an awful performance and win. I've heard that before.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. There's two different mindsets, right? There are the people that really love to win. And then there's the people like us who hate losing more than they like to win.
Which is me. Losing is just the worst. Winning is nice, but losing is just the worst thing in the world.
In the world.
Yes.
So I don't care if you get outplayed, what it looks like, if your goalie stands on his head,
right.
If it
have
was
more
lucky.
More points, more whatever. Runs, more goals, whatever it is than the other team.
Does not matter.
I can't fall asleep all that well last night because I'm a little frustrated the Islanders won. And now, I don't know if you guys get this, I'm like past the sweet spot of being able to sleep. And now I'm thinking, well, if I fall asleep right now, I'm going to get 4.5 hours. And if I fall asleep right now, it's 4 hours. So I'm just about to fall asleep. And I think to myself, do I hear a dog running around?
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
There's no way I could hear a dog, right? Because they're in their crates. So I go down to look, and before I get to the crates, Sammy, like Cujo, jumps out of the darkness and jumps on me. Now, different effect, because she starts like kissing me and licking me. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing? I don't know. I don't know whether she's some kind of like genius dog or sure he didn't lock the cage appropriately. But now she's out. He's barking like a madman because she's out. They're whining. They're crying. At 1 o'clock in the morning, I had to take these dogs out for a walk. 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that hurts right there.
Oh.
I thought I had it bad, Dave.
Oh.
I thought tossing and turning at 11:30, 12 o'clock was bad. You're out walking the dog.
Walking the dogs. It was a quick walk.
O'clock.
But then I was so frustrated because I'm thinking my wife probably didn't close the crate properly. So I go upstairs, and you know, usually you go up and you want to be as quiet as humanly possible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bashing around. I'm like, how much noise can I make? So she turns over. She's like, why are you awake? Why am I awake? Because you left the crate open and one of the dogs got free. But that conversation never happened.
Because she was sleeping?
Yeah.
I give her credit. I guarantee she wasn't even sleeping too.
Probably
she knew
not.
Exactly. She probably heard the dog.
She probably heard one of the dogs roaming around, and she was like, "You know what? If I pretend I'm sleeping, at some point he'll go." Well, I went.
I was going to say. I mean, you stay up like that. Maybe you should have taken your temperature just to see if you were okay.
Wow.
Why would you go there?
Maybe you had a little fever.
I am thermometer boy right now. I don't think you could physically do that.
Well, I mean, if you're flexible enough, you probably could.
You'd have to be like a contortionist to do that. How could you possibly take your temperature rectally by yourself? You need help. It's a
I have
process.
Fractured glass in my rear.
You get a spot?
Says a lot about you if you don't.
Yeah, maybe a stretch band. You get one of those stretch bands?
I can't do something like that. That's not within my purview. I'm sorry.
Pilates. Maybe try some Pilates. We'll flex. Get the flexibility where it needs to be.
I think I pulled a hamstring. I haven't done anything.
No, so you might. So I guess you are a Mets fan.
You play for the Mets then?
Yeah. They are unbelievable, huh? You watch the Mets and you almost need to take medication. They are unwatchable at this
point. Oh, it's not really the Mets.
Are they the Mets, though?
That's, no.
Yeah. No.
16 guys on the IL?
They're a team wearing Mets uniforms and jerseys, but that's not the Mets.
You see, I mean, did you see the news on McNeil and Conforto, too?
Late June.
Great.
Yeah, we saw it. We'll get to the Mets. I know you and I are going to battle about this one, and we'll do it later. But I'm actually past my breaking point with one Met in particular. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. Let's get to the Knicks. I'm glad that they have the extra day off, but I'm frustrated that I don't get to watch Game 2 tonight because the waiting is the worst part here. I wish Game 2 was tonight.
I'm sure as an athlete too, you would like to. I mean, especially Julius Randle, like he wants to get back at it, and he kind of mentioned that, you know, maybe he put too much work in, and I think by that he just means like, you know, the amount of mental reps you take leading into a game. Like sometimes the more you do, I think Canty is one of these guys too, where you kind of spend the whole day going over it in your mind, or in this case, a whole week going over it in your mind, and then you kind of do too much, and by the time you get to the game, you're kind of already worn out. I mean, I think every athlete wants though when you have a so-so performance, or in Julius Randle's case, not a good performance at all. You want to bounce back as soon as possible. But as a fan, I'll take the extra days off.
Yeah, really? I mean, just looking at it from a planning standpoint, I don't mind the extra time just because from what it sounds like, Tibbs is really considering a lineup change and going with a different option to start at point guard. And if that's the case, if he is going to insert Derrick Rose into that starting lineup, like you would like to have the extra days, the extra time to practice just to make sure that everybody is comfortable with the roles that he's going to be asking them to play. So I actually don't mind the extra time just so it gives the Knicks an opportunity to make some adjustments based on what they saw in game one against the Hawks, because they had no answers for Trae Young and they had no answers in terms of being able to get Julius Randle going. So I think those are absolutely critical in terms of them making sure that they have the best chance to kind of have the result that they're looking for on Wednesday night.
You guys are right. The rational fan in me is like an extra day. You it's good for them. The rest that they need, they play their main players so many minutes. But the like fanatic in me is like, come on, I just want to watch basketball. Like you lost a painful game one. You had the day off. You're not traveling. I wish there was basketball tonight. So yes, rational fan. It's great. Irrational lunatic fan. I wish game two was tonight. I don't like all the waiting game that we have to play here.
I don't even know if that's irrational fan. I couldn't even wrap my head around that right now. Like with the amount of pressure I feel like going into this game for the team and the fan base. Right? Like, I mean, your expectation going into the series, Dave Rothenberg, because you said it on this radio station, was I expect the Knicks to win in 7 games.
Correct.
Okay, now we're at a point where you lost game one at home. Canty said it yesterday a couple different times. Game two is must win. You're ready for that right now? You want to throw yourselves as a fan right now?
Yes.
Tonight into right a now, must tonight. Win game two.
Yes. I don't like the waiting for me is the worst part of the whole thing. Yes. Right now, tonight, game two, let's go. If all things were equal, if I knew that they were prepared, if I knew that they were physically fine, yes, I would want game two tonight. Why would I want to wait another night for this torture? No matter when it's going to be torture. Right? It's going to be difficult to watch. It's going to be painful. You're going to go through all the emotions. Why not do it tonight? Why do it tomorrow night?
Dave, you sound like an athlete. I mean, as a player, I remember, like, if I had a bad game, like, I couldn't wait to get back out there on the field. Like, if I played bad on Sunday, I would be glad if we had a short week in a Thursday night game just so I could get back out there and play well and contribute to my team's success. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure there are a lot of guys in that Knicks locker room that feel the same way that you do. And I can't wait for it just because I think that this is going to be a closely contested series. But from an X's and O's standpoint, the extra day off, I think it's going to help the Knicks in terms of them being able to figure out a way to slow down Trae Young in that Hawks offense and then get some of their own guys in the starting lineup going a little bit earlier on the offensive end as well. Because, I mean, something about that has to change. You can't go into a game where your starting lineup only gives you 41 points, not against the Hawks. So, I mean, they've got to figure that out, and I just think that having that extra day of planning for Tibbs is going to be extremely beneficial.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. Dave, I see what you're saying, and I would say that probably the Knicks feel the same way you feel. Like, the players feel the same way you feel. Tibbs feels the same way you feel. Like, okay, let's get this thing going. Like, we want to, you know, get back into Madison Square Garden, 15,000 people, and, you know, kind of rectify some of the mistakes that happened in game one. But just me selfishly, purposely, I could use an extra day.
You can use the extra day.
I could use the extra day to emotionally get where I need to be.
Why do you need the extra day?
Well, I had the Islanders last night, double OT.
Right, but they won.
No, I know they won, but that takes a lot out of you. I mean, staying up for double OT, that takes a lot out of you.
Did you stay up for it?
Yes, I stayed up for it. How am I turning the TV off?
For you. I'm very proud of you.
So we're a very sleep-deprived show right now.
Very much.
Yeah.
Very sleep-deprived, very caffeinated. So I need a day, Dave.
I had an embarrassing moment during that game last night, too.
What, rooting for the Penguins, I'm sure, at some point?
No. I don't see that as embarrassing. I had, because the game, it felt like it was going to be one of these, and I was so invested. If that game went to 1:30 in the morning, I was all in. I had a crossing thought to my mind of, you know what, I don't even care who wins. Just can we just get the goal?
Don't do that.
Can we just get the goal at this point? And then I was like, what are you doing? Stop it. Snap out of it. Smack myself in the face. I was like, come on, wake up.
I don't know how you would even get yourself to root for the Penguins. I mean, you should hate the Penguins.
I hate the Islanders more.
No. The Islanders are they're an easy team to root for. Stop yourself, would you,
but
please?
Except that I never
they're
liked
a rival.
Them. I always rooted against them.
You're out of the playoffs. Pittsburgh is the worst.
You're right. I like Trotz. I don't mind this Islanders team, but I'm a Rangers fan. In my DNA, I can't root for the Islanders. How that's difficult for you to understand is beyond me.
I was just hoping that maybe that your hate for the Penguins would kind of take hold.
Mm-mm.
Maybe the friendship that we have. You really can't understand this, though? Well, no, I
Chris,
can kind
can
of
you
understand
understand
it, but maybe
this?
The friendship, maybe Dave, our friendship.
Dave, I'm right there with you. I mean, as Rangers fans, you don't want anything good for the Islanders. It'd be like you rooting for the Philadelphia Eagles or somebody like that once you're eliminated from the playoffs. Like, it's just not something that you would do.
Never happened. You just can't do it. I love Santiago.
Yeah, but you hate one of those teams worse, don't you?
Who do you hate worse?
I mean, if Dallas is playing Philly, who do you hate worse?
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay, so just hate Pittsburgh a little bit more.
But I don't.
That's all I'm asking.
That's not true. I love Santiago. I would. You couldn't pay me enough money to root for the Cowboys in a big moment.
Yeah, but the Cowboys are in Dallas, too. That's the other thing. This is a New York team. Have some pride.
Why do you hate me?
You grew up. I'm 3 minutes away from the Coliseum you grew up.
Yeah. Then you know that my hate is legitimate. I grew up 3 minutes away from the Coliseum, and they won 4 cups in a row when I was a kid, and I still hate them.
It's
so
misguided.
You know it's true passion, true passionate hate.
No, it's misguided hate is what it is.
I respect it, Dave.
Can't these fool? You know what? He can't be a Rangers fan anymore. Quinny's not even a coach.
So what?
That has to change immediately.
Why would it change?
Because they did his favorite coach dirty.
Yeah, they did him dirty. Yeah.
His allegiances have to now switch immediately.
Are you thinking about switching back?
I will say this. If you're thinking about switching, do it now.
Maybe we don't want him at this point.
Bye, losers. Bye. No. Can you guys afford to not have me on the bandwagon if I'm thinking about switching?
No, they can't.
I'm not going to say you guys are in Brooklyn Nets territory where you're paying fans to come to the arena.
No, we don't have to pay anybody.
It's not like that.
No, they got a glorious arena.
But I'm just saying, there's still room on the Islanders bandwagon if I wanted to jump on.
You could sit in the front.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you cannot sit in the front.
I'm going to pull off Lawrence Tynes. I'm going to punt those suckers all over the place.
You could probably drive the bus. They probably, Chris, come on. Also, can you drive?
Yeah.
Why do you got to take shots at the Collie, too, by the way?
Because I don't like the
Islanders. Have you seen Belmont?
I have. No. Have you been there?
Gorgeous.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Places, David. Wait, I'm going to take you to a game there.
But I'll go with you. By the way, shots at the Collie? I'm not saying it doesn't have history and tradition. Have you been to that place recently?
Yeah.
And it's horrendous.
Well, no, it's nice now. You should have seen when I played there. When you get home from a road trip and there's 3 feet of poop water in the locker room. because a pipe burst. Uh-oh.
That's not good.
All bad. Yeah.
All of a sudden, you turn your pad over and there's cockroaches in your pad. You got to go get the blowtorch to try to get rid of the roaches.
Save DiPietro!
It's amazing you guys didn't win more there. All right, 800-919-3737.
If you go into your toiletry kit and you notice that your protein bar is half eaten by a mouse or a rat.
Are you kidding?
Mind-boggling.
No, I'm not kidding.
It ripped open the packaging?
Right in, yeah, like they must be smart rats. It went right into the toiletry kit, ate the protein bar. Dave, when I first got there, we had a workout trailer that was just in the parking lot. You would have to walk out of the practice rink into the parking lot and then go into a trailer that had gym equipment in it.
That's ridiculous. As a professional sports franchise, you shouldn't be allowed to have a workout trailer.
Dude, here's the best part. My first year pro, when I was in Chicago, I got sent to the IHL. I get into the locker room, go into the gym. It was like a bench with a couple plates, a curl bar, and then we were doing meetings on a legitimate chalkboard. It wasn't like a legitimate chalkboard. Yeah, they would roll the chalkboard out.
Oh my god.
High class.
Oh wow.
Big time stuff. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get into the Knicks. I have a question for you guys, and I want to open it up to the listeners as well. 800-919-3776. More pressure on Thibodeau or Randall heading into Game 2, unfortunately, tomorrow night and not tonight?
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
More pressure on Tom Thibodeau or Julius Randle. Let's go around the horn. We'll get to the calls, and then we'll hear from the coach on the other side, who is starting to bother me as well, one Nate McMillan. Chris, what would you say? Thibodeau, Randle, more pressure, game two.
It's more pressure on Julius Randle, Dave. And I get that Tibbs has kind of been there and done that. He's coached teams in the playoffs before, and this is Randle's first foray. But, I mean, Julius Randle is the star player for the team and played his worst game of the season in game one of the playoffs. So it's absolutely more pressure on him. You're talking about having a 15-point, 12-rebound effort and an awful shooting night, and yet his team only lost by 2 points. So to me, Julius Randle has to be the biggest difference from game one to game two. And if you get the all-star, most improved player in the league version of Julius in game two, then you're probably talking about a different result for the New York Knicks. So I think it's absolutely more pressure on Julius Randle.
Yeah, I don't even think it's a question, Dave. I mean, I don't care how well you coach, or your X's and O's, or your game plan. I mean, if your players don't go out and execute the game plan, it doesn't matter. So Julius Randle has the most pressure.
Yeah, he has a lot of pressure, actually. He can't give you another subpar performance in game two.
And I don't think he will.
No, I don't think he will either. I don't believe in that. All right, let's get to some of the calls. 800-919-3776. Anthony in Spring Valley. Good morning, Anthony. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing today?
We're doing good. What's up? A little, Dave and Chris are a little tired, but I'm battling through it. Anthony, what do you got?
I'm probably more tired than you guys. But anyway, I think
Who's more tired? You're more tired, Anthony. You win.
I've 2 hours of sleep, but anyway, I'm driving. Ooh. But I just think it's more pressure on Julius only because Thibodeau kind of proved himself as being a good coach already through the regular season. I mean, he's and Julius right now, potentially with the way he's already played, he's probably going to get a contract extension, but playing even better throughout the playoffs is going to dictate him making more, you know, as far as that contract extension is concerned. So I think it's a lot of pressure on him. Plus, like I said before, Thibodeau's done a great job with the Knicks so far. I'm not a Knicks fan, but he's done a phenomenal job with them so far. I don't think he has any more to prove.
I don't know that he has a lot to prove, and thanks for the call, Anthony. I think that if Thibodeau disappoints you in this series, I don't think he has as much as Randle, but you would notice if he didn't coach well in the series.
Well, you noticed after game one, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a conversation after game one.
That's a fair statement. I think the expectation is Thibodeau's going to outcoach Nate McMillan, and I don't think that any of us saw that in game one.
Yeah, but I mean, I think to his point, though, I mean, Tibbs has a track record of success. He's been in the postseason and has had success. Julius Randle has not. This is his first foray into the playoffs. I mean, this is his first time, really being I mean, well, no, it is. It's his first time as an All-Star. It's his first time, you know, being, you know, the best player on a playoff team that's expected to, you know, to win a series. And that's a lot to deal with. And I think it got the best of him in game one. Got off to a slow start, and it just he couldn't, you know, find his way out of it.
Yeah, so, I'm with you on that one, Rico. I think it is a different type of pressure. But where I will push back and disagree with the last caller is I don't think Julius Randle's performance in this series is going to have any impact on what the Knicks plan on doing with him long term. I think they've already had to make that decision in their front office. Like, Julius Randle deserves a max extension if the Knicks can offer it to him. The most money that they can give him this offseason, that's exactly what needs to happen. Because this team, without him, is a team that would probably be in the lottery. So there's no question about it. He is one of the cornerstones that you are building around for the foreseeable future. You don't want to mess around with that.
Let's hear from Nate McMillan, who has some things to say about the crowd at the Garden. Here is the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks.
The same. I mean, the arenas when I played, they were loud and it was hot. And, you know, this time of the season, a lot of energy in there. You know, there'll be, you know, certain people saying some things, mainly courtside. But, you know, last night's chant was coming from the, you know, the building. And I've never heard that being chanted in a building about a player. I had to, you know, really listen to see, you know, to think about what they were saying. But again, I thought our guys did a good job of blocking that out and, you know, focusing on the game.
He's been in NBA circles for like, what, 20 plus years? He's never heard a guy chanted at like that?
Well, I think he meant not chanted at. I mean, I think the word they were using.
Oh, please.
Well, please. No, I mean, how many times, I can't tell you the last time I was at a game. I've been to a lot of games, played in a lot of games, that it was the actual word. Like, the actual, like, that was the chant. Like, I've heard, you know, a-hole and stuff like that. But the whole crowd chanting the F word and whatever player it is.
Right.
I don't know if I've been to a game where I've heard that.
Really?
That would, no, by the chanted by, I mean, I've heard people say it. Like, in the stands, like, I've heard someone say it, but they have the whole crowd chanting it?
In unison.
15,000 people in unison chanting that?
Yeah, put it in an operatic voice.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing, though. I don't, like, you know, the players did a good job of tuning it out. I mean, that's, when you're on the road and the crowd is as aggressive and as loud as they are at Madison Square Garden. I mean,
you gotta love that as a player.
I love it.
You gotta love that.
You
that
feed off of that.
Well, you saw Trae Young after that game, how fired up he was.
Oh yeah, and it's not like Knicks fans haven't seen that in the Garden before. I mean, you just think back to those rivalries with those '90s Knicks with the Pacers and Reggie Miller, and him going back and forth with Spike Lee. So it's not like Knicks fans haven't seen that at the Garden before. But you just got to be careful when you're doing that with a guy like Trae Young, because I feel like Game One in a lot of ways was a coming out party for him. Like, people around the NBA knew about Trae Young, but to go for 30-plus points and 10-plus assists in your first game in the postseason, that's rare air for a young player like that. Trae Young is going to be a perennial all-star. Like, I mean, Knicks fans got to be careful with taunting this guy the entire series, because this guy is capable of ruining a really special season for your team.
I think it's too late, though. I think they've already deemed him as public enemy number one, and I think he's going to get the bulk and the brunt of the animosity from
That's
the
fine.
Knicks fan.
That's
fine. He is the enemy. You're going to lose this series. It's going to be because of Trae Young.
That's right.
You saw that in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's what killed you, was the fourth quarter. You did. I mean, for the most part, through three quarters, you did a pretty damn good job against Trae Young.
You didn't go to the line one time.
Exactly right.
Ugh.
And then all of a sudden, it's a parade to the free throw line. I mean, there's 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden, they start calling fouls.
Let's send them back there again. Eugene in Mount Sinai. Good morning, Eugene.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
No, here we go. We got to put a stop to this. Go ahead, Eugene. You're on. Welcome aboard.
Okay. Michael, I have two questions. First, my question, they need to put a body on Trae. They have to put somebody on him. Devin Smith or Frank. Somebody got to put a body. Let this guy know he cannot do the amazing shot. The second thing is my question is, why Julius Randle keep bringing the ball up and his turnover? He do 5 turnovers a game.
Yeah, but that's not abnormal. I mean, he turns the ball
over. They ask him to do a lot.
He handles the ball a ton.
They ask him to do a lot.
That's a lot.
Well, but that's what happens when you don't have a real – I mean, you don't have – I mean, when he's on the floor, especially with the starting five, you don't have – I mean, he's – the offense goes through him. Mm-hmm. You don't have a great primary ball handler. You don't have, I mean, Alfred Payton is not a great point guard. He's not. The offense runs through Julius Randle. So they ask him
about Alfred Payton
to have the ball in his hands, accept the double team, and then pass out of it. And that's not easy. So, I mean, yeah, you're going to have turnovers, but you're also going to have times where, I mean, especially when Bullock is going, and unfortunately in game one he wasn't, you've seen how well those two work together.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
And that wasn't the case in game one.
Both of them were bad in game one. How many? I mean, listen, he's played in what? I think he missed one game in the regular
season.
One
game, that's it.
So he's played in now 72 games. That was by far and away the worst game he's played in 72.
And here's the thing, too, with Trae Young. Like, you got to stop him from making amazing shots. He didn't really make amazing shots. It was just, it was too easy.
Right.
Like he was getting downhill off that pick and roll, and I mean he could get to the rim. He was kicking it out to open guys. Like they got to find a way to be able to slow him down a little bit. Just create some hesitation to allow your help and your rotations to be able to get in their spots. Like it's just like you said, Rico. It was too easy for Trae Young. They got to make him work a lot harder on the offensive end, and I think they got to make him work a lot harder on the defensive end too.
I think the defensive end especially. Let's run him ragged and let's be physical with that guy. And let's wear him down as the game goes on. Because that didn't happen in game one. Not at all.
No, you got to treat him like they used to. Like when you watch those, you know, those games when, you know, Golden State was going the way Golden State was going. And that, you know, they would search out Steph Curry. Right? They would search him out. They'd run him through the screens. They would just have him running the entire possession defensively. Just to try to get, I mean, take his legs away from him a little bit. Because you know he's going to, like, those guys are good enough. They can shoot well enough. They're going to get theirs offensively, but just make it difficult. Like, try to wear him out. Be physical.
And be physical with him. Pound him. Hammer him. Make it difficult.
He's not a big guy.
No, not at all. He's a slight guy.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I said, please, when you call the show, do not ask us continuously, hey, how you guys doing? And then we have to, we're doing great. How are you doing? I'm doing great. I said, please. And I think Carlin and Rick both thought I was being mean, but I wasn't. I just, Mike and Tom's River. Good morning, Mike.
Yeah. Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Oh, here we go.
Hey, what's up? It's Jerry.
I can't have it with every caller. And now Rick's like, well, that's because you're so awkward with it. So I said, Rick, fine. When they say, how you doing, you take it now. And now he takes it, and I think he might be worse than I am with the hey,
take
how
it.
You doing?
Take it!
There's a pause, it's uncomfortable, it's the same, well, we're doing fine. I would be willing to start every hour with 2 full minutes of going around the horn of telling people how we're doing.
If
every single
doing?
Caller we didn't have to take, and hey guys, how you doing? We're doing great. How you doing? I can't take it anymore, Chris.
Well, Dave, a couple of things. First of all, I think when people call in and ask that question, it's kind of like an icebreaker. They just want to, you know, they want to give us a shout out because this is probably their first time having a chance to talk to us on the air. So I can understand why we get the hey, how you guys doing? But the thing that makes it awkward is when they have that pause as opposed to getting straight to their point.
Yeah.
Because we don't have a ton of time on the air to just sit around and address how we're doing every single time somebody
Hi,
calls
Michael.
Our show.
How you doing?
We don't have that kind of time. But I think,
I think
Rick gets caught off guard because sometimes there'll be callers that get straight into their point as opposed to going with the awkward pause. He doesn't know when to jump in. It's kind of like double dutch.
From now on, when people ask how I'm doing, I'm going to start to tell them how I'm doing. I'm going to be like,
no,
Steve
but don't
Hart.
Do that.
Yes, I am. That's going to make it weird.
I don't care.
Don't make
it
weird.
Then they're liars. Then they don't really care how I'm doing. They're just doing it for show.
No, it's not for show, but it's almost like, you know, a little bit of a social lubricant for the conversation.
As your third wife do it,
right? Yeah. Like you shoot out an email. It's like, hey, Dave, hope you and the family are well. And then you say what you're going to say.
Exactly.
That's different.
How are you doing?
No, what makes it different?
We can't turn in every call like a frenzy. We can't make it like a frenzy for the entire show.
No, but how about hey, Steven, Ron Conkham, you're on 98.7. Thanks so much for having me on the show, guys. There you go. Boom. Right into his point.
How are you doing?
But sometimes that does happen, Dave. Sometimes the callers do get straight into their point.
Those
which
are
is
the
great.
Callers I like better than the how you doing callers.
Okay, well, now you're letting all of our listeners know. So when they call up, if you don't want to annoy Dave Rothenberg, get straight to your point after
straight
you say good
point.
Morning.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, guys. Love the show. Big fan of the
so
show.
So you're
great.
Laying down the gauntlet right now.
I laid it down a couple weeks ago, and it made
apparently
no
it didn't
difference.
Work when you laid it down. So
how are you doing?
Made absolutely no difference. And Rick, you don't handle it well. You're completely awkward with it.
See, now you're taking shots at me, which is, I mean, that's fine. I mean,
well,
if you want to
shots
if you
at me,
that's
why
you're,
yeah, that's why you're the man that answers the question now. You think you handle it any better than I did?
No, I think I handle it appropriately because I can't tell whether or not they want me to say, hey, how you doing? We're good. Or they want to go right into the point. So I don't want to sound like I'm talking over anybody.
Which makes sense.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
By the way, I agree with you. I didn't agree with you yesterday morning. I was defensive of him, but now I agree with you.
Omar.
He called
done.
The K show yesterday.
Yeah, oh, yeah. We got people all over the place. I was getting tweets. He's done.
Yeah. Disgusting.
Suspended.
Indefinitely, right?
Yep.
Yeah. We don't know how long this ban is going to last.
This game has become popular all over the world.
I do love him, though.
He's dead to us right now, Dave.
Don't laugh. Right it's not funny. It's not a laughing matter.
Well, I find him entertaining. I just wish that he cared about us the way we care about him. Let's go to Terrence in Brooklyn. Terrence, let's see if you can play the game.
Yes, good morning.
Beautiful.
I'll get to my point. All right. Who has the most pressure going into game two? I think it's both of them. Julius Randle needs to have a better game than he had on Sunday. Also, pressure is on Thibodeau because he must stress defense. Atlanta got too many point easy baskets in the paint, too many layups. That can't happen on Wednesday night. And in regards to Trae Young, the Knicks fans better be careful because Trae Young has already proven that he could blow by most of the guards there. So I wouldn't get too testy with Trae Young if I'm a Knicks fan, and I'm a long-standing Knicks fan going back to the 70s. And those are the ingredients because the Knicks need this game on Wednesday night. They don't want to go back to Atlanta down 2-0. Thank you.
This is exactly what he just said, Dave, is why I'm good with not having the game tonight. I mean, we all realize that's what it is. Yep. If they lose game two, I do not feel good about them coming back from a 2-0 deficit.
No. If they lose game two, the season is over.
Okay, so I'm not ready to wrap my mind around that yet.
But you're either going to have to do it Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. It's not like
he wants to put it off as far as he can, Dave. Push that thing into the future as far as you can.
But it's going to happen.
I understand that, Dave, but the range of emotions that Rico is going to go through. Think about what he puts himself through, Dave, just getting ready for the Thursday Open. Can you imagine game two must win for the Knicks after having a dream regular season?
I just had a horrible thought, by the way, Chris.
No, don't say it.
Don't open the door for that, Dave.
No. It's he has to do the Thursday Open.
Yes.
So he now can't prepare it during the course of Wednesday. It's got to be, you know, kind of on the spot now on Thursday morning.
I know. It can be either really, really good, Dave, or it's going to be really, really bad, depending on the outcome of Wednesday night's game.
Right. He's going to be thrilled or he's going to be completely depressed.
Wednesday will dictate what the open on Thursday is going to be. I mean, it's that simple.
Well, of course.
That's the story.
Do you write two opens and then just use the one that happens?
No, he can't.
Just because it's only one open.
Yeah, he can't set himself up like that.
No, that's a touch of the money. There's one open. And we all know what that open is going to be. The Knicks win game
two.
The
Knicks win. The Knicks win big.
That's it.
That would be terrific. You're unhappy with Omar. I'm very unhappy with Andy in Merrick. Very unhappy. Good morning, Andy in Merrick.
Good morning, DCR. David, you're unhappy with me?
Very unhappy, and I'll tell you why. Because I get emails from you constantly. We're gonna, and Rick, you'll be unhappy with this as well. We're done. Islanders are done. Have no chance. Season's over. Hammered by Pittsburgh. Rangers going to take over this town. I can't believe it's such a disappointment. We're not going to win this series. No chance. Going to go five, I mean, the entire way through, Andy. And now they win a huge game five in double overtime, and the first guy to call about it is you. Very disappointed.
David, you know, I thought I was going to need a therapy session with Dr. DiPietro because they really did not play well.
But I did have a small practice,
today Andy. My agenda today is not with you guys. Did you catch Peter Rosenberg? Yesterday on the K show.
I mean, yeah, it's embarrassing. Yes, should have shut off his camera.
Well, I didn't see what happened.
He's wearing a C.B. Crosby jersey.
He had the jersey on.
It looked like, I mean, it was probably a goalie cut. It looked like a sausage casing on him.
Well, my request is for you guys to reach out to young Peter and tell him to please rock that sweater again tomorrow night.
He's still sleeping. Otherwise, I would call him.
Does he go on the air in like 10 minutes?
He's on hot, isn't he?
He wakes up at... You've never heard his schedule when he wakes up for a 6 a.m. show?
What, like 5:53?
Like almost 6 o'clock, yeah. Every time he says it, I still can't believe it. I have to like sometimes I had to rewind it the first time he said it on the case.
What am I doing wrong?
Exactly my point. Andy, I do appreciate the email too last night. I could.
Oh, now he's
concern.
All excited. Andy, true or not true? You have been emailing me nonstop and calling me nonstop with "We're done. We have no chance. This is not going to end well."
David, it's tough to be an Islander fan, and speak to the truth here, Rick. They did not play well.
No, they
came
were bad.
Out slow. They were outplayed. I'm just thrilled with the win, boys.
Soroka stole the game. I mean, that's
he was
it.
Great.
I mean, you know, there's no more analysis needed. He was awesome.
He was. What they have 50 shots on goal?
He had 48 saves. The save he made.
Wow.
The save he made in the first overtime on the
block aside.
No, that was a good save on Letang too. No, the Goudreau deflection, where he was standing up, and the puck just happened to hit him in the pad. That was like I was like, oh no, because he's standing. Anytime you get a wrist shot at the net, you're standing. Well, but it wasn't even a great save. It was just lucky. Like you stand up, and the guy deflected the puck down. Like usually that goes right through your legs, and it's night night. But it was one of those games, man. He was dialed.
Better to be lucky than good, right,
dude? He was dialed in, man. Like it's as good as it gets.
It's so disgusting, these fans, that we have no chance. We're not going to win. It's over.
It's reverse psychology is what it is. He sent me the same email.
Stop it.
Team looks unmotivated. How do you get mad at your sugar daddy, by the way?
Well, you know what? Because I'm honest.
I mean, talk about looking at the gift horse in the mouth.
And fraudulent, then you know what? I'm going to call Matt on it.
Dude, you better watch your tone with Andy.
What do you mean, watch my tone?
I mean, he's your financier.
Be a better fan.
I mean, be a better fan. All of a sudden, he decides he wants to withhold funds. Hockey Show goes away.
Untucked, the podcast?
Untucked, which
and
is a
welcome
hack,
aboard.
Hack
I'm Dave Rothenberg, and this is Rothenberg Untucked. Our maiden voyage.
Unbuttoned?
Yeah, I mean, it's come on, man.
I'm going to sit here and have you two make
unhinged?
Fun of maybe some.
It should have been unhinged. It's not, though. I watch it every week. It's not unhinged.
It's not unhinged. That's not the name of the show.
It's like watching Mr. Rogers do a podcast on sports.
I'm a nice guy.
Good evening.
Good evening. Yes. Welcome. Welcome to another edition of Untucked.
Watch me tie my shoe.
Where I talk
and welcome
in a slow
I'm Dave Rothenberg, and this is Rothenberg Untucked, our maiden voyage.
Oh, God.
Go to Kenny in Jersey. Kenny not happy with things. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. Do I dare say good morning? Because I really
good
don't
morning is more than
fan.
Welcome. I adore the good morning, Kenny.
It just seems like you get so upset when people greet you back. You know, you just
good
it
morning.
Just turns you off totally. I don't get that, Dave. You know, you're my boy, Dave. I love you to death, but you got to cut it out, man. We're just being nice. We're just having phone etiquette. We're just saying how
it's
you
not
doing.
Not phone
we
etiquette.
Check guys out.
It's unnecessary,
yeah,
Kenny.
Absolutely.
Kenny, we went through how we're doing. I could tell you that Chris is tired. He didn't sleep well, slept like 4 hours. The dog somehow got out of their crates and were running around last night. I had to walk them at 1 a.m. Like, we've been through
it. We don't want to hear excuses.
Right, but we told everyone how we're doing.
You're socially awkward is what it is.
So all Kenny has to do is say good morning.
No.
I mean, it's lovely.
You're
it's
mean.
Welcoming. Not how you doing, Kenny.
Dave, I disagree with you on that one, man. We're just being polite and having phone etiquette, bro. You're getting your panties in a bunch for no reason on this one. And you do it every time.
He doesn't wear
really
panties, Kenny. He
it.
Wears the big giant boxers with
you're
the hole
giant.
In the middle.
No. Actually, I have boxer briefs on right now.
Yeah, right.
I do. Bulging.
They've stuck in, they've stuck in right. The 90s with the boxers.
I do have boxers, but today it's boxer briefs.
Just hanging
absolutely.
Off.
Dave, that's the best ones. Boxer briefs are awesome. Look, I don't think nobody have pressure. I don't think Randall has pressure,
oh,
and
I
don't think the coach has pressure.
You
know why? And this is why I say that. Because even though the Knicks lost that game, the biggest winner was the Knicks fans. You know, we got a playoff game in the Garden. Like, if we would have signed up for that, you know, in the beginning of the season, every Knicks fan would have signed up for a home playoff game in the Garden in a 4 seed. So the fans won. So they provided what they needed to provide to the fans.
So you think if the Knicks get swept in the series, you're like, oh, you know what? Great. It was a great season. All is well and no worries.
Dave, I'm not going to say that because my heart is going to be broken because I want them to win. But in the beginning of the season, if I would sign up for a sweep, a four-seed sweep.
Yeah, but Kenny, it's not the beginning of the season anymore, Kenny. It's not. Yeah, before the season started, every single one of us as Knicks fans would have signed up for that. But it's not.
Yeah, but
we're here.
Look how awful we've been. I mean, we've been
awful. Yeah, but Kenny, you got to readjust expectations, man.
That's right.
We're here now. And that, it's again, they played an okay game one. Julius Randle wasn't very good. And I can promise you, I mean, Dave asked the question, Tibbs and Julius Randle are both feeling pressure going into game two. It's natural. Of course you're going to feel it. They don't look at it the same way. Kenny, I can promise you they're not looking at it the same way as you are right now. That they've already achieved what they came to achieve. They've done what they came to done, which is give the fans a playoff game at Madison Square Garden. That's not the intention now.
No, not anymore. Not when you're the four seed. Not when you're
But he didn't play well. But that's the thing, though, and he didn't play well. Like, Julius Randle knows that he can play better than he played in game one, a lot better than he played in game one. And it's much easier said than done, too, because you got to realize that Tibbs had a week to prepare to try to slow down Atlanta. Nate McMillan had that same week. And all the things that Julius Randle liked to do during the regular season, all his different spots he liked to get to, Atlanta knows exactly where those spots are he's trying to get to. And Clint Capella said it, kind of with a little bit too much confidence, in my opinion, is, we got a plan for Julius Randle.
Well, think about it, though, Rico. I mean, Julius Randle averaged 37 points a game in the three games that they had in the regular season. So that was going to be the priority for the Hawks going into that game. It wasn't about being able to get Trae Young going, because Trae Young is their point guard. Like, Trae Young will be able to figure that out within the structure of their offense. But it was defensively, how are we going to slow down number 30? Like, that was the priority for them in the week leading into the playoffs when they realized that that was going to be the matchup. How are we going to slow down Julius Randle? And really, the Knicks had no answer for that with their starting five as to how they were going to create opportunities for Julius to get going, whether it was him scoring or him facilitating other guys so they could put the ball in the bucket. So it shouldn't be a surprise for us that they threw a lot of different looks at Julius Randle and that he struggled with that. Especially when you think about the added pressure of it being his first playoff experience, knowing that he's the star guy. Like, this shouldn't be a surprise for us, but what I would be surprised with is if we didn't see a huge bounce-back game for Julius Randle in Game 2.
I agree with that. Let's go to Skip in the car, who has a bone to pick with you, Canty. Good morning, Skip.
One thing. Canty, you can't be just jumping from the Rangers to the Islanders to the Rangers to the Islanders. It's despicable.
And come on, Skip.
Hear me out.
Don't make me go like Shannon Sharp now. Skip. Come on, Skip.
Come on.
Skip, don't do me like that, Skip. They fired my guy, David Quinn. That's why I became a Rangers fan.
Wait, are you officially going back to the Islanders?
No, I'm not saying that yet, Dave. I want to be courted. I want to be wooed a little bit. But they fired Quinny. Like, the big reason why I became a Rangers fan is because of David Quinn. He's my favorite coach in the tri-state area. And I feel like they gave him an unfair shake, Skip. They parachuted him in the middle of a rebuild, and they expected the guy to be in the playoffs every single year. Even though he did have one playoff appearance, like, I just feel like this team was headed in the right direction, and they didn't give him a chance to see it to the other side. And I just feel like that was really unfair.
That was unfair. One thing. That was unfair and everything. But I was listening when you jumped onto the Rangers from the Islanders, and it made me – I can't even describe it. So if you're going to come back, you're here for good. Otherwise, kick rocks, Canty. Kick rocks.
It's despicable, Skip. I agree. Despicable. I'm bringing him to games. I got him ice level. He's all in all of a sudden.
I appreciate that, Rico. I appreciate it. It was good. It was good. Going to the games and hanging out with you while you were doing pre and post for the Islanders. It was cool.
So where are we now and where are we leaning?
Well, I'm not leaning in any direction, Dave. It's still really, really fresh. I mean, it happened this week, so it's just, it's kind of, let me get some time to process this thing, and then we'll go from there.
Free agent right now.
I can't do it right now because it would be fraudulent. We're in the middle of the playoffs. Like, I got to let this thing breathe. We got to get past the Stanley Cup playoffs and then into the offseason, and then I'll make my determination then.
So we can have like when a high school elite player decides where he's going to go to college. We could have, like, you know.
Oh, well, we have day. The hat. We have the different yeah. hats out
we,
there,
we
Dave.
Can, we can have the. We can, listen, we can put the three local hats out there. The Islanders, the Rangers, and the Devils. And then you will put the one on that you choose.
There we go. I like it. I like it.
He may have burned a bridge, though. I don't even know. I mean, I have to consult.
You don't even
with,
want him anymore, do you?
See, yeah, I'm going to consult with Andy, the rest of the Islander fans, and see if we want him back now at this point.
You wouldn't want me?
Listen, I'm just saying,
Rico?
It's
you
not just me. It's not just me. You may end up having to just, I mean, the devil hat may be the only hat you're left with.
Wow.
Good luck with
so,
that.
So the Rangers fans and the Islanders fans want nothing to do with me being a part.
I'm just saying. Listen,
well,
I'm
look
just
what
saying.
You've done. Hmm. You were. Originally, you were what, a Rangers fan, or you were never
originally
a fan?
I was with the Islanders, Dave, because we do the show with a former Islander. I mean, Ricky was the number one overall pick.
So,
he was an
so
all-star.
coming into the show with Rick, you had no allegiance.
No allegiance.
Okay. Then you chose Islanders.
Yes.
Now you flopped Rangers.
Well, see, it's in part Ricky's fault because he's the one that decided that we were going to have a weekly with Quinn going back with their relationship in college. But I just that's why I became a Rangers fan, because we talked to Quinny every single week and I love what he had to say. Like, a lot of how he sees high level sports is how the coaches that I played for viewed competition. So I just fell in love with everything that he had to say in terms of developing his program. So this is really Rick's fault. Rick is the one that made me waffle from the Islanders to the Rangers.
And can't he's attracted to mediocrity.
That's not what the Super Bowl ring in my trophy case
well,
is.
Well, no, I mean, that's the team you played on. I'm saying that you root for now.
I root for the Lakers in the Yankees.
No, I'm talking about strictly hockey here.
Oh, okay.
You would pick the playoff team, Eastern Conference Finals, up 3-2 in the series. Instead, you chose a team that... You know, really
yeah, that has no history and tradition whatsoever. All right, 800-919-3777.
Oh, stop yourself. Stop yourself.
What do you mean?
History
what
and
mean?
Tradition. Islanders have one of the best teams in the history of sports.
And nobody argue with that. But if I said to you what's the most passionate fan base in New York for their team, the Rangers are probably top three.
No.
No, stop it.
Stop yourself, please.
Really, you're embarrassing
stop
yourself.
You're embarrassing
you know,
yourself.
Canty, right I can't wait for a decision day. I might you know, send you a basket of fruit in advance to try to
I can be bribed. I can be courted.
Right?
Yeah, that
some
works.
Cash I'll wouldn't hurt.
I'll take it.
Some beautiful cat, a new car, something like that?
No, it doesn't have to be that far, Dave.
No?
I mean, we don't have to go Nick Saban SEC with this thing.
Buy him a puppy.
You know.
Buy him a
you
puppy.
You can have two puppies. You're going to send two beautiful puppies.
No, that's going to make me go in the other direction,
can,
Dave. No.
Somehow get
I don't
themselves
need Sammy
out of,
and
out of crates.
I'm all good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Two beautiful puppies.
I don't need to be up at 1 o'clock in the morning walking the dogs. I'm
I don't
straight.
Think, I don't think these things sleep. I'm convinced that they don't sleep.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.